Do you know how to catch a unique bunny?
I don't.
Unique up on it.
Cue the music.
Sorry.
There's your cold open. I'm going home.
So I'm delirious. We're doing a doubleheader. Hi, I'm Paige.
And I'm Rebecca.
And this is
Made From What's Left.
Let's start with the history stuff.
Can I give you some fun facts?
Please do. I have lots.
Okay. Did you know that Winnipeg has been home to 57 movie theaters, including drive-ins?
57?
In our history, we have had 57 different movie theaters.
Holy smokes.
Currently, we have 7.
What?
And no drive-ins. But there are 3 drive-ins operating in Manitoba.
Oh.
The Stardust, just west of Morden.
Okay.
The Big Island, 10 kilometers south of Flin Flon.
Oh.
And the Shamrock in Killarney.
Do you have to say it like that?
And the Shamrock in Killarney.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
But that does mean we have to drive quite a distance.
Yeah. The Stardust does have several camping spots.
Oh, cool.
And if you camp overnight at the Stardust, it does include your admission to the drive-in.
Come on, really?
Yeah, and they have good fried foods. I think we've mentioned that. I have a question for you.
Okay.
Have you heard of J.A. Schuberg?
No.
All right. Young Rebecca? J.A. Schuberg? Young Rebecca knows. He showed one of the very first movies in Winnipeg in May of 1899. 1899? Along with his father-in-law, Frederick Burroughs,
okay,
John Schuberg had designed a 20 by 60 foot black top canvas tent that could seat 200 people.
Holy smokes.
Which he called the Edison Electric Theater.
Where was it?
Well, it was a tent.
No, but where?
Well, I'll tell you where he put it.
Oh.
He put it in a lot of places.
Oh. It was traveling.
It was a traveling tent.
Okay.
But he invented it here in Winnipeg.
Cool.
The tent contained an inner tent of black cotton to keep the sun out.
Okay.
And outside there was a marquee banner on poles.
Cool.
With the movie advertising.
Yeah.
Schuberg erected his blacktop tent in a vacant lot on the west side of Main Street, about 100 yards north of Logan Avenue.
Okay.
To show a film called The War Show in 1899.
In 1899, this would be a moving picture.
This would be a moving picture.
Okay, did he have
silent.
Yeah, silent film. Did he have an orchestra?
It didn't say.
Oh.
But he was in a tent.
Yeah.
With 200 people.
200 people.
So he toured his blacktop tent for a couple of years, and then he opened a permanent movie theater in Vancouver in 1902, which he called the Edison Electric Theater.
That's so cool.
I know. A year later, he returned to Winnipeg and opened the Unique Theater on Main Street, and later, the Dominion on Portage, the Bijou and Dreamland Theaters on Main, the Province on Notre Dame, and another theater in Vancouver.
That's incredible.
Fast forward a couple years, or several years, Schuberg had created the leading theater chain in Western Canada in less than 2 decades. In 1924, he sold his theater interests to famous players.
No way.
And after a brief time out of the business, returned to Winnipeg, where he ran the Province, which became the Rio, and the Bijou for a number of years.
That's so cool.
Do you remember you were talking about the Bijou during our Fringe Festival episode?
Yeah.
That was one of our Main Street theaters.
So cool.
You ready for something else?
Yeah.
This will blow your mind. I call this the popularity of movies in Winnipeg.
Okay.
Okay, so at the beginning, picture shows were seen as lowbrow entertainment.
I love it.
So compared to vaudeville and live theater,
movies were lowbrow.
They were lowbrow.
Yeah.
So much so that the powers that be felt they needed to keep an eye on them.
Mm.
So as you know, KG Films, is that where you got your source?
Yep.
Posted a letter from the city archives from the chief constable to the mayor and council about attendance at movie picture theaters at 9 p.m. on the night of Saturday, November 29th, 1913. So he wrote a letter.
Yeah.
This would have been a phone call or a text.
Yeah.
An email.
It would have been an email, yeah.
And I quote.
It's too much for a text.
As per your phone request to a member of my staff, on the night of Saturday, the 29th, I beg to report for your information that at 9 p.m., the two picture houses in Fort Rouge had an audience totaling 570 persons.
But North, wait. Hmm? But wait. But wait.
The North End Division, which includes everything north of the CPR Railroad, reports at the same time having a total audience at picture shows of 1,475 persons. The Central Division, which includes all that part of the city of Winnipeg between the Assiniboine River on the south and the CPR Railroad tracks on the north, report at the same time having a total attendance at moving picture shows of 11,200. The District of Weston, in which there is one moving picture show, had on Saturday the 29th, 350 persons in attendance, being a total of 13,595 attending moving picture houses at that time. So a poorly written letter
to begin with. I think it was a well-written letter.
He kind of repeats himself. It's all one sentence.
Yeah, it is.
So
close to 10% of the city of Winnipeg.
Yeah, Winnipeg's population was about 140,000 at that time. So 10% of the city was at the movies at 9 p.m. that Saturday evening.
Can you imagine?
10%. Young Rebecca.
So, further to your comment about it being sort of seedy.
Yes. Or
maybe you didn't use the word seedy.
Lowbrow. Because the censors then.
That's what I'm on about. I have a little note here that in the censors' monthly report for April 1915, they passed 548 and a half reels and condemned 53 and a half reels.
It's the half reel.
The complaints ranged from burglaries, murders, and suicides to blasphemy.
And there was a movie called The Chocolate Revolver, in which a young girl foils a burglary attempt with a revolver made of chocolate.
Given to her by her father.
And I think that the censors had no idea what to do with that. They thought it was way too violent, but was it?
Yeah, it's chocolate.
Was it? So we talked about the Bijou Theater a while back. Did you know that a short stretch of Main Street once contained 7 theaters in a 2-block area?
No.
Or 8 in a 5-block area, if you count the Oak.
We do.
So I'm gonna quickly go through the theaters that were there.
Okay.
For Reader.
Reader?
For Listener.
Did we just change the medium?
We did. This is now YouTube. It's on Kindles. For Listener, think of the area between the Winnipeg Regional Health Authority building.
Which we need another benchmark for that.
Do you not know where that building is?
No, but just for Listener.
So for Listener, we're talking about the stretch of Main Street on the City Hall side, that's roughly from Market Square, so from like Bannatyne-ish to Henry.
Okay.
Like just past Logan.
Perfect.
Okay, so the Epic Theater,
646
Main Street, built in 1913 for Winnipeg Tribune publisher and member of Parliament Robert L. Richardson.
Friend of the pod.
Yep. Designed by Scottish-born architect Alexander D. Meville. And intended exclusively for the purpose of showing films.
Okay.
So this is where it kind of starts, because a lot of the old vaudeville theaters were converted. This was one of the first movie-only houses in Canada and was one of the oldest surviving intact examples of cinema architecture remaining in the country when it was demolished in 2008. It was also known as the Rex. When it opened, it was the Rex. Changed its name to the Regent in 1923 and then the Epic in 1978. So when I was a kid, there was a theater. I have this in my memory. There was a theater that always played the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yes.
That was the Epic.
Cool. Also, great name.
So I do kind of remember that. I would have been like 6. But I remember. The Elite opened in 1903 as the Unique.
Yeah.
527 to 529 Main Street. All right, the Bijou, which you mentioned during our Fringe
Still
episode.
Still kicking me,
498 Main Street.
Yeah.
Opened as a vaudeville house, interspersed with showings of Edison kinescopes. You mentioned earlier it was part of a block of buildings on the foundations of an old courthouse and jail.
Yeah, wild, eh?
In 1908, it was renamed the Empress Theater. In 1910, the Empress Theater discontinued vaudeville and continued with a movies-only format.
Seems to be like a few like that.
Yeah, usually double bills of sub-runs. And it was reverted back to the Bijou Theater. It never had an organ. But a photo player was installed in 1915 to accompany silence. And it was part of the block of buildings that burned to the ground in 1979.
That's when the world lost the theater but gained a page.
1907, the Star/Dreamland Theaters?
Yes.
I got nothing.
Oh, I got something.
Do you have something?
I do.
What do you got? The Royal/Starland was at 626 Main Street.
Okay.
Originally, the Royal Theater stood just to the south of this address.
Mm.
It was renamed the Starland Theater in 1910. Then in 1911, they opened the second Starland Theater at 626 Main Street.
Okay.
The new two-story facility had a Main Street frontage of 44 feet and a front facade featuring over 500 lights.
Wow.
So that must have been something.
Yeah.
Cool. It was closed and demolished in 1921.
Oh.
So it was only 10 years.
Yeah.
A third Starland Theater opened later in 1921. The three-story fireproof building had a lavish interior and was equipped with a $15,000 Warren pipe organ.
Cool.
By 1929, it was operated by the Universal Pictures chain.
Oh, interesting.
Interesting. It was closed in the 1960s.
Yeah.
In early 2008, plans were in the works to demolish the building and other buildings on Main Street to make way for an office complex, which I think is the WRHA building.
Mm, Access Center.
The Starland Theater was demolished in April 2008, despite being a heritage-listed building.
Whoa. Delisted.
Whoa.
That doesn't happen very often.
It doesn't.
There must have been something maybe really bad structurally going on, maybe.
There's some greasy pockets.
Am I just greasy making palms? Things up? Greased wheels?
Greasing the wheels of palmed pockets.
Not a thing.
Okay, the Fox Theater at 606 Main Street opened in 1910 as the Columbia Theater.
Oh, okay.
Renamed the Fox Theater in 1935.
Okay.
It was owned by Western Theaters and seating was listed at 560 seats.
That's a lot of seats.
A lot of seats.
In one theater.
The theater closed in 1961 and has since been demolished. The Colonial Theater.
Yeah.
Opened in 1910, remained open until 1943. After that, it was the State Theater. It was known as the State Theater.
Okay.
But we're going to have some pictures on our pod. I know that the Colonial is one of the theaters that we have some early pictures of.
Yeah.
Try to see if we can get all of these to put on our Instagrams.
It's quite a density of theaters
mm-hmm.
in a short city block.
It's almost like a precursor to the multiplex.
Kind of.
Right?
Except
you could go to one block of the city.
Except they're all different...
Genres?
Theater companies.
Theater companies,
not
sure.
Not theater company. That's not the right word.
Brands?
Brands.
Types?
Kind of, yeah.
Things? They'd all be showing different stuff.
Yeah. Competition. They were all competition.
All in competition. But it must have been pretty at night to see all the marquees and everything lit up.
That would have been really cool walking down there at night.
Yes. So we did take a field trip the other day.
Yes.
You and I went on a little theater jaunt.
We did.
We went to see two kind of special theaters.
Yep.
We saw the Rose Theater at 801 Sargent.
Yeah.
That was a one-screen theater with 662 seats. The Rose Theater was designed by local architect Max Blankstein. Blankstein? Blankstein.
Blankstein. Down the road would become part of GBR, the B of GBR.
He was the B in GBR.
Blankstein and Russell.
It was constructed in 1926 for theater operator Nathan Rothstein. It was constructed at a cost of $50,000.
Could you imagine?
And it was it was named for one of Rothstein's daughters, Rose.
Oh.
That's kind of sweet.
And $50,000 would have been a whole lot of money at that time.
A whole lot of money. The grand opening was December 5th, 1926, with the film Why Girls Go Home, starring Myrna Loy.
That's cute.
Yeah, it was cute. 3 years later, a sound system was installed, and it started showing talkies.
I love that.
So here's a little bit of a weird history of the Rose Theater.
Okay.
In 1963, under new ownership, it was gutted, and everything was replaced.
Okay.
It reopened in March of 1964 as the Town Cinema.
Oh.
Not to be confused with the Town Cinema 8.
Okay.
Specializing in the best offbeat and foreign films.
Oh, cool.
So according to West End Dumplings...
A really good source,
an excellent source. The sometimes risque fare became downright smutty. And that was in the 1970s. By 1974, the town was featuring exotic dancers along with the films.
What? Like can-cans?
Well, maybe a little more exotic than that. Yeah. In April, it changed its name to the Venus Theater and offered a combination of cinema, massage parlor, and adult bookstore.
Well, that's quite a variety.
Yep. It wasn't long before police and city councilors began getting complaints about the venue. And the owner was convicted 3 times for violating obscenity laws.
Oh, my.
It reopened as the Festival and showed Asian language films until it closed for good in 1985. So it's sitting kind of vacant now because it looks like a daycare, strawberry daycare on the main floor, but it doesn't look like the strawberry daycare is there anymore.
Mm.
Could you imagine sending your kid to a daycare in like a former dirty movie house?
I don't think the ghosts are still there.
Well, lots of sequins and glitter for the arts and crafts. We went from the Rose Theater to visit its sister, the Palace Theater at 501 Selkirk Avenue.
Yeah.
One screen, 820 seats.
Like, that's so a little bit bigger. Huge.
Opened in 1912 by Jack Miles.
Okay.
And expanded and remodeled in 1927 and 28. Currently owned by the University of Manitoba.
Really?
Yeah.
Are the film students using it?
Nope. It's empty.
Oh.
Both the original construction and the remodeling were designed by architect Max Blankstein. The palace was closed in 1964 and the building was converted to retail use.
Okay.
So it's been retail for a bit. Empty now.
Yeah.
Oh, it says it's been vacant since 2002.
Okay.
Was supposed to be demolished. So the university sent a memo to the city of Winnipeg. Saying in May of 2002, saying it would be demolished in the next couple of months.
Okay.
However, it's still standing.
It appears to be.
Because we went and looked at it.
Yeah.
It is going to be renovated and redeveloped into a venue for arts, theater, and culture.
Hmm.
The North End Historical Society and I believe the North End Community Renewal Corporation are involved in the project.
Cool.
According to their Instagram, they had a meeting at the theater on July 6th. To discuss the history or the future of the theater.
Oh.
Not the history. We've discussed the history.
They're going to discuss the future.
So you can go to their Instagram at the Palace Winnipeg for updates.
Oh, cool.
And perhaps to show your support.
And it's in rough shape, but it has a really cool canopy with marquee.
Yeah. And those movable, changeable letters that right now say 5-star entertainment.
Yeah.
Which sounds a little bit sleazy.
Yeah, that's kind of a thing.
Lots of pigeons.
Yes.
Living in the marquee and it's around.
Currently home to several pigeons.
Some cheeky pigeons. but it'll be interesting to see what they do with that.
Yeah.
Because they're both beautiful buildings.
They are.
The Rose is lovely. It's just sitting there doing nothing. And the Palace is like a bigger version of the Rose.
They sort of follow... As far as facade treatments go, they seem to follow a bit of a pattern.
Mm-hmm. And ornamentation is kind of
a thing.
Linked.
Yeah.
Samers. Max Blankstein.
Yeah.
Who I believe we were just discussing. Also designed the Roxy Theater on Henderson Highway.
Okay.
And the Uptown Theater on Academy Road.
He was all theaters all the time.
He passed away from an appendix attack. It seems that he wasn't at the opening of... the Academy Theater, and he passed away 7 days later.
Oh, no.
On New Year's Eve, 1931.
Hmm. Oh, you mean Max Blankstein, the father of Cecil Blankstein, of noted Green GBR. Blankstein and Russell.
You're correct. That's the one. So a little bit about the Uptown Theater.
Ooh.
At 394 Academy Road.
Yeah.
A favorite of mine.
Did you attend it when it was a theater?
No, I'm not that old.
Oh, I don't know what the dates are. I'm sorry.
I'm
going
to tell you. Okay. And then you're going to apologize.
All right. I'm sorry already. I'm saying such a thing. I'm sorry.
Okay. In May 1930, Jack Miles Company, Jack Miles has come up a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
His company, Allied Amusements, they wanted to build a theater at 394 Academy Road. They had three residential lots allocated for their theater. They asked city council for a controversial zoning change that would allow them a fourth lot to create the largest and finest neighborhood theater in Canada.
Wow.
So lofty. The application was opposed by residents. This is like peak River Heights here. This is like 1930s River Heights, but this is also like 2020s River Heights.
This is the synthesis of it all.
The application was opposed by residents who feared excessive noise and parking issues, but they were eventually successful. Remember when they tried to build a dermatology clinic up the street? Excessive noise and parking issues was the problem.
Probably.
The Uptown got its name through an essay contest. Mm-hmm. 39 entrants suggested the Uptown.
No way.
So it's unclear if the prize, which was a radio, was ever distributed to anyone.
Shared by all 39 people.
All 30, like 39 people out of like 2,000 suggested the Uptown. It opened on Christmas Eve 1931 with 1,600 seats, 1,200 on the main floor and 400 in the balcony.
Wow.
So when you think like the Rose Theater had 400 and something seats or whatever, that was the size of the balcony of the Uptown. So the exterior of the building, for anyone that up until a couple years ago had gone past the building, they know that it had a distinctly Mediterranean style.
It still does.
Does it?
Yeah, they didn't change the... It's protected, I think. Am I making that up?
No, maybe. They've cleaned it up a little bit, right?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, let's say...
Okay.
The exterior of the building has a distinctly Mediterranean style with stucco walls, terracotta roof tiles, wrought iron balconies, and kind of a mosque-like roofline.
Yeah.
We're going to say mosque-like.
Yeah.
The designers carried that theme to the inside of the theater and finished the interior to look like a Moorish village.
Have you seen interior photos?
Yeah.
Oh, good, because I haven't.
So they made it look like a village on the inside.
Cool.
With stucco and plaster false building fronts.
Okay. I like Western town.
And they painted the ceiling to look like the night sky.
No way.
Complete with twinkling stars. And then they projected moving clouds on the ceiling. And they even had a little projection of a plane that would fly over.
What?
So the idea was you were sitting inside the movie theater. You felt like you were sitting outside in like... the square of a Mediterranean village.
Wow.
So it was very fanciful.
Yeah.
And the balcony seating, the first row was Chesterfield's.
Really?
Yeah. Which I think is kind of cool. We're kind of going back to that now.
Yeah, yeah. Going towards sofas.
So 1960, the interior was gutted and turned into a bowling alley.
Are you trying to tell me you weren't around?
I was not around in 1960. But there were still some places until recently where the original interior details peeked through.
Oh.
So I think in the kitchen and in some of the closets.
Okay.
They didn't bother to rip that stuff out.
Of course.
They just built over it.
Sure.
It has been recently converted into loft-style apartments.
Yeah.
With retail on the main floor and rentable office spaces on the second floor that they want to rent to the residents. So if you want to do like a live-work situation...
You can
work within the building.
Does it still smell like bowling shoes?
You have to wonder. I wonder if that's a selling feature. Two-bedroom, one-bath apartments go for $18.25 a month.
Two-bed, one-bath.
$18.25 a month.
$18.25.
So it's posh.
Pretty good.
It's posh.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
Right? It's more than a bowling game.
It's more than...
More than a night at the movies.
It's more than rental of someone else's shoes. Can I tell you a fun fact about Uptown?
You can tell me a fun fact.
So, as you already noted, built in 1931, it was legendary in the 50s for the Thursday night sneak preview. Do you know about this?
Oh, yeah. And people were mad about this.
This was a screening of a big movie soon to open downtown.
Well, they wouldn't reveal the title.
Yes! That's the best part. They wouldn't publicize the title, so the audience wouldn't know what they were going to see until they got there.
Yeah. And it was controversial because the movie houses downtown were like, hey, you're stealing our thunder.
That's so cool, though. I love the idea of like, because for me, I'm not like a review watcher or reader.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, like that is peak movie attendance. Just go and you get what you get.
Yeah. We also went to see the Park Theater on our little field trip.
We did.
Do you know why it's called the Park Theater?
No.
Do you know about River Park?
No.
Okay. At the turn of the 20th century.
We're going back a bit.
So just around the corner from your birth.
Just setting the stage here. A large part of the current Riverview neighborhood was the setting of River Park.
Okay.
So construction of River Park began in 1891, and it remained a popular spot for Winnipeggers until the mid-1930s.
Okay. I'm trying not to yawn, sorry.
So okay. You have to picture this. For 40 years, most of Riverview was a giant amusement park.
Oh, amusement park.
It was an amusement park.
I was yawning because I thought it was just parks. Like,
no. And not River Park South. Also yawn-worthy.
So an amusement park.
Described right as a year-round playground.
Okay.
With a world-class roller coaster, racetrack, sports facilities, grass airstrip, wildlife enclosures, like basically a zoo, a midway, toboggan slides, and picnic places.
Holy smokes.
Thousands upon thousands of Winnipeggers and visitors enjoyed River Park until 1942.
When they parceled it out and built houses.
And built houses. So all the residents of Riverview are living on a former amusement park.
Can you imagine, like, what's under the earth in there, in that area?
Right? All kinds of tokens?
Yeah.
Got to be lots of tokens and things.
Cotton candy.
In the summer of 1914, the historic Park Theater opened at 698 Osborne. So it was part of the River Park amusement area.
Complex.
It closed in 1986 and then reopened in its current splendor in the summer of 2005. It is currently an events venue hosting concerts and the occasional movie.
We saw a movie there.
We saw Phantom of the Paradise.
Yes. With a jubilant audience.
It's one of those sing-along movies.
Yeah.
So you have like Rocky Horror Picture.
Yeah.
And you have the Phantom of the Paradise. Sound of Music to a lesser extent. But Phantom of the Paradise is one of the cult movies that people show up
dressed
in costume.
Yeah.
They sing along to. They stand up and yell out the lines.
There's call and response happening.
And there's a weird history with the Phantom of the Paradise that it got most of its success, like most of its like cult following in Winnipeg.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's kind of a Winnipeg phenomenon. And it's such a weird movie.
It's a weird group.
We didn't know anything about
it. Fun.
And we went in there and then we were like completely into it.
It was like full immersion.
Yes. Phoenix. Phoenix. Now y'all have to go see the Phantom of the Paradise. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about.
At the Park Theater. Oh, do they still do it?
I hope they'll do it again.
Yeah.
They've done the Big Lebowski several times.
I would really like to go to the Big Lebowski.
You can drink some White Russians.
Yes.
And then you can go next door for a bowling game.
It's so perfect.
At the park alleys.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make a note.
Okay.
A callback to Elva Fletcher Way.
Do.
There are three interpretive plaques describing the development of River Park and the surrounding neighborhood, located in Elva Fletcher Way.
Okay.
Right beside the thingy that looks like an old streetcar.
Right. Which is actually also a callback to our hockey episode.
That's right, because that was the site of the former arena.
Yeah.
So that's why it's called the park, because it was part of River Park.
Well, I learned a lot today.
Did you learn a lot?
But you're not done.
Oh, boy. I got notes.
She's got so many pages of notes.
Do you have anything else?
Well, I have a fun fact about the Gaiety.
Because you were going to talk about some old theaters that we visited. We saw the Walker Theater.
Yes.
Where was the Gaiety?
It was at the corner of Portage and Colony.
Okay.
It was built in 1912, and it was eventually specializing in Disney movies. I'm doing this thing where I'm looking
down. That's adorable.
Yeah, but just wait. Until it was transformed into the Eve
in
1973.
Dirty. That sounds dirty.
Showing exclusively softcore porn. That lasted just 2 years before it became respectable again as the Colony until it closed for good in 1985.
Okay.
Have you noticed that like a lot of these, they started in the 19 single digits or teens.
Yeah.
They went through an evolution.
Yeah.
And shut down in the 80s.
Yeah, something happened.
It's really interesting.
Maybe like multiplexes? Maybe multiplexes happened.
Maybe.
So what did we say? There were once 57, or there have been a total of 57 movie theaters in Winnipeg. Like, yeah. At one time, Winnipeg was lousy with movie theaters.
Well, because there was community movie theaters. So there would be smaller theaters in...
Like, almost storefront theaters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Oak, which was built in 1938 and lasted until 1962.
That was another Main Streeter?
Yeah. There was an urban legend about the Oak that...
Oh, I know this one.
Do you?
About the apple boxes?
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah. So the urban legend was that you could get in... for half price if you brought your own apple box to sit on.
Untrue.
How
many people showed up with apple boxes?
The one anyway
that we how know. Many people showed up in apple bottom jeans and the boots with the fur?
I hate you for getting that song in my head. So I have a little bit of info about the Walker.
We went to visit the Walker.
Yeah. Architect Howard G. Stone. The Walker is of course located at 364 Smith. Not that anybody knows what any of the streets around there are called.
Should we remind listener that it's now the Burton Cummings Theater?
Oh, yeah.
For young listener?
Yeah. Built in 1907. It's Manitoba Provincial Heritage Site number 61.
Ooh, that's an early one.
It's a National Historic Site.
Yep.
And it's it has City of Winnipeg Heritage Designation. So it's like
not at all.
All three levels of government. It was originally a 2,000-seat theater.
Yeah.
With a 12-meter-high proscenium.
A proscenium, you say?
That's almost 40 freedom units high.
What? Now she's speaking in tongues.
40 feet. It's almost 40 feet high.
Freedom units.
So it was, of course, built as a live-action theater.
Yes.
A fireproof theater. It was converted into a movie theater in 1945 and became the local headquarters of the Odeon chain until it closed in 1990 and once again became a live performance venue.
Yep.
Corliss Powers Walker.
Good old Corliss Powers Walker. Friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod. Built the theater in 1907. The theater building was originally designed as the centerpiece for a much larger complex.
Okay. Yes.
Which, so the rest of the complex would have been a hotel, office, and retail complex.
I think we talked about that in the haunted episode, yeah.
Only the theater was ever constructed, and that's a big part of why there's only really one decorative facade.
Yes.
So the north, south, and west faces of the building, I mean it's at an angle, but you get what I'm saying, are pretty plain Jane.
Yes.
The original curtain was made of asbestos.
This is when it was a movie theater?
Fireproof.
Or like...
Of all time.
Okay, of all time.
The Walker Theater was also the location of nationally important rallies, including meetings of the women's suffrage movement,
mm-hmm.
particularly of the Women's Parliament of 1914 and labor movements.
It's true.
Which is actually cited as part of the reason why it's protected.
Because it's of historical significance.
Yeah.
Nellie McClung did her famous mock parliament there.
Did she?
She sure did.
The first moving, did you just make that up?
Why do
you
look like... No, younger Beck and I are like filled with... She's got a shit-eating grin. Brimming.
All right. The first moving picture to show there was Blood on the Sun in 1945.
None of these movies sound good to me. I haven't heard of one yet that's been like, yes, I'd like to see that. I want to talk about the movie theaters of my youth.
Can I tell you about the Met first?
Well, the Met is on my list, but I'd like you to talk about the Met first.
Can I talk to you about the Gargoyle Theater next?
Well, that's also on my list.
Okay. You tell me about your youth.
Do you want to talk
about... I've got all night.
Do you want to talk about your Met, or do you want to slot it into the movie theaters of my youth?
Go ahead.
So, because I'm so much older than you, there were more movie theaters to choose from.
There were, probably.
Do you know... Do you remember looking at movie listings in the paper?
Yes, actually.
Like pouring through the movie listings and the times and trying to figure things out?
Yes, I do remember that because I'm not that much younger than you.
I know. But that was like a big part of my youth.
Okay.
We would go to a lot of movies. A lot of movies because it was cheap. You can go downtown with like $5 or $10. You can get into the movie. You can stop at Comic World and get a Duran Duran pin and you're done.
I feel like cheap night for movies when I was a teen was like $5.50.
Cheap night?
Cheap.
Cheap. Tuesday.
I was thinking cheat night. Is that when you take your mistress out?
No.
Two for one?
My mistress.
Well, it started with $2.50 Tuesdays or $2 Tuesdays.
Oh, okay. Yeah, back you in, are older. Back,
yeah. In the youth. Okay, but anyway. I think you could get into a Saturday matinee for a couple of bucks.
That's amazing.
And I don't think that popcorn combos were $15.99 back then.
I'm pretty sure the last movie we went to, the food cost $50.
You and
I? Five oat, no.
No, because ours was 26 or 30. For,
we had a, you were a cheap
You
date.
Had a kid's pack. I yeah. had a small popcorn.
It was only because we had pizza first.
Shout out to Flying Pizza.
Carry on.
Stacey Hill's mom. Should I mention Stacey Hill? I can mention Stacey Hill.
Give her.
When we'd go to a movie, her mom would pop us a big paper grocery bag of popcorn.
And you'd like hide it in your coat?
And she'd butter it and send us on the bus with it. And we would be mortified. Gross. But we wouldn't ditch the popcorn. We would just spend the whole bus ride trying to figure out who was going to crotch this.
This is disgusting.
Giant bag of popcorn.
Also amazing.
Because you could not sneak anything into the movies back then. I think right now you could sneak an extra person into the movies.
Is this Stacey's mom?
What's Stacey's mom? She had it going on.
I've heard things.
Okay, do you want to hear about the movie theaters from my youth, or did you have something to interject?
No, carry on.
All right, I wanted to shout out the North Star Cinema.
Okay.
At 286 Portage Avenue.
Yeah.
The North Star 1 and 2.
Yeah.
It was called. Opened on March 4th, 1970.
Okay.
With Barbara Streisand. What? Hello, Dolly. And Jane Fonda in They Shoot Horses, don't they?
Okay.
Right? So if you like chick movies... Or Barbara Streisand yep. movies. It was a good night for you. The theaters had two giant screens with over 500 seats in each auditorium.
That's crazy. 500.
Right? The North Star 1 and 2 closed in 2001.
Can you imagine what the sound of 500 people eating popcorn is?
No.
How much would you have to...
No, I cannot.
You'd have to crunch on hard candy to be in that theater?
I just wanted to also say that before the Radisson... So the North Star 1 and 2 is where the Radisson is now.
Yeah.
It was in that hotel.
Yes. In the basement, I think.
It was in the basement. Before the Radisson was constructed, the Lyceum Theater.
Yeah, the Lyceum.
Stood in that block at 292 Portage.
There's an ad from the Lyceum from 1917.
Showing a film called Her Condoned Sin. I'd go see that.
This is from Andrew Davidson, friend of the pod.
So it opened in 1912, offering first-run movies. By 1929, it was operated by the Universal Pictures chain.
Ooh.
And then later operated as an independent house.
What does the word Lyceum mean?
I don't know. It sounds Greek.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? You're thinking Colosseum?
What does Lyceum mean in Greek? The name of a gymnasium or athletic training facility.
I mean, no.
Well, we'll go back to the other meaning. A hall for public lectures or discussions. An association providing public lectures, concerts, and entertainments.
Another ad for the Lyceum. They May had, MASH in Polly of the Circus.
Let's try to put a picture on the pod because they had kind of a neat front.
Okay.
On the Lyceum.
Yeah, the building was really cool.
All right. No longer in existence. The Correct. Capitol at 313 Ooh. Donald Street.
Okay, speaking of the Capitol.
Do you remember the Capitol? With the... It had the sign all the way down the side, like yeah. C-A-P-I-T-O-L.
I do not really remember it.
Well, it was demolished in 2003.
Okay. Oh, I do remember it.
You do remember
yeah,
it.
Of course
if you
I
saw
remember
a picture
that.
Of it,
yeah,
you
yeah,
remember
yeah.
it. It had two screens with a total of 1,290 seats.
Yes, big is a big...
So it was big.
It's like 600 seats per theater.
Yeah.
Do you know about how you accessed that theater? Do you have notes about that?
No.
This is also one of the fun facts from Murray.
I don't have any notes about that.
So the building was actually on Hargrave.
Yes.
But the address was on Portage. You would walk in the
Did
door.
Did you say it was on Hargrave? It was on Donald.
Maybe I've got it wrong.
Okay.
you walked into the entrance door on Portage Avenue.
Yes.
You'd climb up a huge... wide flight of stairs.
Okay.
and you'd walk down the entire length of the building, and you're going across the lane in a like basically a skywalk.
Like weird.
Yeah, and you can see photos of the skywalk.
How do I not remember that?
And that would cross you over the lane to get to actually where the building was on the other side of the lane from the Portage Avenue entrance.
Weird.
Yeah.
It was the biggest single screen movie theater ever built in Winnipeg.
Really?
And the biggest in Manitoba when it opened in 1921 with 2,000 seats. Oh, shit. In 1979, the theater was renovated and the balcony was converted into another cinema.
What?
So it That's opened,
how big it was.
It opened with 2,000 seats.
Okay.
And then they split it into two different cinemas.
That's incredible.
Cinema 1 contained 864 seats and Cinema 2 had 426 seats. It closed in 1990 and was demolished in 2003.
Crazy.
Crazy. Another cinema from my youth.
Okay.
Cinema Polo Park. In Polo Park Mall.
Yeah.
Two-screen cinema opened in June of 1962. Taken over by famous players in 1967. Closed in 1994. Here's one that young Rebecca might not know.
What?
The Convention Center cinema.
There was a cinema at the convention center?
There was a cinema at the convention center.
What part of the building? Northeast?
Kind of. I want to say close to Morden's Chocolates, but I don't know if that's correct.
That's Northeast.
I can't picture it. But yeah, like old convention center.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like that section. Second floor.
Okay, yeah.
I want to say.
Yeah.
Single screen. 586-seat theater.
That's a ton of seats.
Opened in June 1976. Closed in 1996. Opened again in 2002. Has closed since.
Aww.
I don't know when it closed. But single screen, it was always the theater. It was always like our backup plan. Like if one of the other multi-screen theaters were sold out. Because theaters actually sold out quite a bit.
Yeah.
Back then, and you had to go there to buy the ticket.
Mm-hmm.
So you couldn't do the whole thing online.
Hardly any of them had apps.
And so Convention Center was always like our, let's go see what's there.
Mm.
One of my favorites, probably one of the defining theaters of my youth, the Eaton Place Cineplex 7.
See, I didn't know Eaton Place had a, maybe I did.
It was closed in the early 90s
okay. To
make way for a food court expansion.
Oh.
So this was like the 80s.
Yeah, yeah.
Opened in 1981, closed in 91.
Okay.
So I probably saw 1,000 movies there in that time.
I don't think I ever saw a movie there.
It contained 7 theaters.
Oh, wow.
I need you to math here.
Okay.
7 theaters with a total of 460 seats.
Oh, that's not many.
They were small.
Okay.
They were really small.
Give me the math again.
7 theaters,
yeah.
460 seats.
So if I do math in my head, that's 65-ish seats per theater.
It was small. It was small. And we used to go and...
That's still, more
well,
than there was, in the Grand Park theaters right now.
Since there were 7 movies playing,
yeah.
You would just kind of show up at Eaton Place and try your luck.
That's cool.
And so that's where I got to see my first Monty Python movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice. We
went to see The Secret Policeman's Other Ball.
You know what you just reminded me of? No. There was a time when you were like, want to go to a movie? Sure. And like, but you were already in the mall.
Yeah.
And then you walked over and you stood and stared at the thing.
And it was mostly what time?
It was just about what time. And you were like, let's go see that, I guess.
Because I think movies were better then.
Oh, really?
Don't you?
Like,
there were more comedies back then. Like, I remember seeing Beverly Hills Cop, like, 3 times in the theater.
And they'd get so canceled
it's
now.
It's just like, oh, what do you want to see? Well, that's playing. Let's go see that
Let's
again.
Let's go see it.
And it was cheap.
Yeah.
It was like a low investment.
Yeah.
Have you ever walked out of a movie?
I have not.
Young Rebecca
Young
has.
Young Rebecca has.
Yeah.
What?
Really? Young Rebecca's mom didn't like Mamma Mia.
Well, actually, I feel like I did walk out of a theater. But that's because the it was a 3D movie,
mm-hmm.
and I had Muppet with me,
mm-hmm.
and it was blurry, and the audio was out of sync.
So we walked. This isn't worth it.
Yeah,
your money back.
Yeah, we walked out and just went to the counter and said, "Can we?"
I've had movies where you're sitting there and all of a sudden it goes, poof, And it's gone.
Yeah.
Back in the day when they actually had like projectionists. Mm-hmm.
It was film. And there was a person setting up the film.
Yeah. Things would happen.
Starting the film.
Fixing the film. Splicing the film back together.
Splicing. Cutting.
The Garrick.
I've got a little thing about the Garrick.
Is it about its role in COVID?
No.
Okay, good. I have a couple things to say about the Garrick.
Okay.
Single screen theater opened in 1921.
Yeah.
Was twinned in 1968. And then they split it into four screens in 1979.
Well, where was it twinned?
Like they split the single theater into two.
Oh, got it. Okay.
And then they split those two into a further two.
Wow. Okay.
Once part of the Odeon circuit. Mm-hmm. It was taken over by Cineplex Odeon.
Yeah.
1984. Closed in 2002. They had a very legendary cashier.
Did they?
Yeah. She wore very distinctive glasses.
Okay.
Back in the day.
So strange.
Just a little bit of an aside. It was an event venue until it closed.
Oh.
Like live music. And it had a sloped floor.
Yeah.
Which was kind of good for watching live shows and kind of horrible on your calves.
And don't spill your drink because it goes all the way to the front of the theater.
All the way down.
The Garrick. I have a couple notes from Murray.
Okay.
On the Garrick. There was infrared heating under the canopy to keep people warm while they were standing outside waiting to get in.
Well, you're queuing for the movie in the winter.
Why don't buildings do that anymore?
Because all the theaters are in malls. I don't know. Why don't they?
There's plenty of buildings where you have to stand outside in the cold to wait to get in.
That's a good question.
Murray mentioned to me that was the first first movie theater that he walked into backwards to get in for free.
Was there a deal if you walked in backwards?
No. No. Oh. So as
the people were coming out?
He walked in backwards.
Murray.
But brilliant. I had heard about the walking in backwards thing, and I always thought it was a myth.
Like the faces would all be facing the right way.
Yeah, and there was just too much chaos. So everybody coming into the theater was coming in one door, and everybody leaving was exiting through a different door.
Yeah.
And if you just walked backwards through the exiting people, you were facing the right direction. There was too much chaos. Nobody knew what was happening. And then you found yourself in the theater and then you just go to a movie.
This is how I'm getting into Lululemon on Boxing Day this year.
I love this part. He was like, that was the first movie theater I ever went to with Barry Wexler where we walked in backwards.
Shout out to Barry Wexler.
Do we know how Barry Wexler's doing these days?
Probably in jail for sneaking into too many movies.
There was a theater he couldn't recall the name of. So the other part of this was, it was a little bit more specific to the Tower Theater. Theaters were like madhouses.
Yeah.
So kids would yell and scream and throw popcorn. And he actually mentioned that they would like bring elastics and bobby pins so that they could like slingshot elastics at the screen and at other people. And that they had to actually have like bouncers.
Well, back when kids were allowed out by themselves.
Yeah.
Like movie theaters on a Saturday.
Chaos.
Like cartoons and chaos.
So apparently there was
one. And then later, teenagers and chaos. Additional chaos.
Yeah. Different kind of chaos. So the third theater he was referring to, he couldn't recall the name of, but it was owned by Izzy Asper's parents.
Okay.
And they would take absolutely no shit. So if you were acting like you did in the Tower Theater the night before, they would just simply throw you out.
So you had to behave.
Yeah. You had to behave at that theater.
I like that.
Don't you?
I do.
Bev also wanted to mention.
Yes.
That if you were a patrol, you got to attend a movie at the Met for free on specific Saturdays.
Oh.
And it was such a thrill because you'd wear your patrol belt.
That must have been very confusing for downtown traffic.
You would take the downtown bus.
Uh-huh.
And if you were from Charleswood, it took most of the day.
Yeah, I bet. It was like a journey.
Aw, Bev.
Bev, shout out to Bev. She was a patrol.
She was a patrol, a little patrol.
I knew we had a lot in common. Would you like to tell us more about the Met?
Sure. I can tell you a thing or two. So, architect was C. Howard Crane.
Of course.
The Met is, of course, located at 281 Donald Street.
Right across from
the arena. New arena. The building was built at a cost of $300,000. Ooh. Which would have been a lot of money.
A lot. A very lot fancy. That's like six Rose theaters.
It was supposed to open Christmas 1919, but the seats hadn't arrived.
Oh.
So they had to open it on January 2nd, 1920.
Oh, okay. It wasn't open in 1919 BYOS.
Right.
They could have brought the Apple boxes. Apple boxes. For that one.
That's right. Half price. Within the theater, there was a fountain and an orange tree.
It was beautiful.
It was really.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, it was. A vote was held with a cash prize. This is to name the building.
Mm-hmm.
So a vote was held with a cash prize, and the most popular name was Prince of Wales.
Okay.
With 800 votes. However,
nobody wanted that.
Mayor Farmer, a judge on the panel, preferred a less popular name, the Metropolitan, which received 194 votes. Mayor Farmer proudly announced the name and evenly split the $200 cash prize amongst the 194 votes.
Each voters.
Each dollar. Got a dollar and a bit.
And they could go over to Eden's and buy themselves a full lunch for that.
It's true. It became a National Historic Site in 1991, and then it became property of the city in 1996.
Right.
For a cost of $30,000. Basically, the back taxes. In 2007, the building was turned into the Canadian's Metropolitan Entertainment Center. I had a chance to tour the building when the 2007 addition was built.
Yes.
And I got to hear from one of the architects, and who highlighted that all of the fire and life safety and some of the health issues mm-hmm. of a current code that were not addressed in the original building were all loaded into the addition. There's a small little winding stair at the top of the building, and it
yep.
takes you up into, I don't actually know what, because we weren't allowed to go up there, but there's names written all over the walls of some of the people who have performed there.
Oh, that's cool.
And yeah, and there were lots of like really cool names there. Also during the tour, the guide mentioned that the grandson of the original plasterer was hired to do the restoration.
Oh, that's cool.
Isn't that neat?
That's really
cool.
That's
a very Winnipeg story, right?
Okay, so when it reopened in 2012, after the extensive renovations.
And addition.
Leo Ledahowski.
Okay.
Who is the owner of Canada Inns.
Yeah.
He said that he was very passionate about renovating the Met because it was where he had taken his bride for a date.
Oh.
Way back in the day, and it was like a special place for him.
That's really sweet.
Isn't that really sweet?
23 years ago, my then boyfriend, now husband, took me to see a movie on our first date.
Whereabouts? At the Grant Park Theater?
I don't actually remember what theater. He would know. And I fell asleep.
See? Maybe it was Star Wars.
I fell asleep like this.
On him?
No.
On the other person?
And he just thought it was a weird way to watch a movie. He didn't know I was asleep.
You weren't reacting at all, and no. You were very still.
Yeah.
Perfect date.
She's just weird.
Not eating any popcorn.
This is wife material. That's what that is.
Lock that in. Put a ring on it.
Put a ring on that in 9 years.
Wait 9 years just to be sure. Then put a ring on it. I think the Met closed in 1985-ish.
Okay.
Like, because it was operating as a movie house.
Yes.
For the early part of the 80s.
Yeah.
And so we got to see movies there.
Mm.
And they had covered up the ceiling, but I think you could go up to a certain point and you could see the original.
You could see over top of the drop ceiling.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
That was awesome.
So really cool to go see a movie.
It got into pretty rough shape when it was vacant.
It was full of pigeons, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. It was in...
I pigeons saw photos. And student architects.
Wait, what?
Huh? Huh? I think, was it, I don't think it was heated during that whole time. Or it was heated.
I don't know.
But just barely?
I don't know, but maybe.
It had kind of fallen into disrepair. I think when you think of from like 1985 to the early 2010s,
mm-hmm.
when they would have been in there renovating.
What was the last thing you were in there for?
Would have been some City Winnipeg related event.
Ooh.
I haven't gone there for like an event.
I was there for the Winnipeg Jets draft.
Ooh. Ooh.
Draft party.
You're so fancy. Did they serve draft?
Yeah.
See? my neighborhood theater, the St. Vitel Six.
Your neighborhood theater is Grant Park.
My old neighborhood theater.
Oh, when you were a child.
Was the St. Vitel Six. It opened in 1985.
Why always with the numbers? Is it the number of screens?
It's the number of screens.
Oh, okay.
So it would indicate to you.
Town 8.
How many screens?
Eight screens.
Right?
Got it.
Six identical theaters of 300 seats each.
Still very big.
It's still very big. Of note, well, so it closed in 1998 because now they have the Silver City, right. St. Vitel.
Yeah.
A notable thing to mention. This is where I got sick. I got air sick during a screening of Top Gun in 1986.
Like vertigo?
We were in the front row and I was so air sick. Like sick to my stomach, air sick. Dizzy and sick. Yeah. From the airplanes.
Really?
Yeah.
No way.
It wasn't good.
Aww. I was on a poor date. Little you.
Poor little me.
With the guy with the tooth?
Poor little 14-year-old me. The guy with the tooth?
Did you say Top Gun?
Oh, yeah, that guy with the tooth. Not the guy I was with. He was probably wearing a bad shaker sweater. Oh. Randy River or something.
Tell me more.
Town Cinema 8.
Yes.
301 Notre Dame Avenue.
Yeah.
Opened in 1981. Canada's first 8-plex under one freestanding roof.
Cool. A very
so
low roof.
Not in a mall. So yeah, we were talking the other day. It's a very low roof. It's like a one-story building, but it extends into the ground.
You go down the stairs.
Very long staircase.
Yes.
You went really deep into the earth. We would go to the Town Cinema 8 quite a bit.
Yeah.
Because they had a lot of movies.
That's the one where I bought a ticket for one movie and went to a different one.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the theater.
I think you could get away with it there.
My friend Chi.
I mean, remember like the concession area was very like mirrored-y.
Yeah. It was dark. Everything was dark. Every surface was dark.
Like purples and reds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A black.
It boasted the finest in sound and motion picture projection.
I hate it when things are said to boast.
It boasted.
Yeah.
And was equipped with Dolby Stereo and 70mm. Mm-hmm. Whatever that means. Roughly 1,800 seats.
70mm?
So you get 2,000 people in there on a Saturday afternoon.
How many seats?
1,800.
Wow.
But over 8 cinemas. They weren't huge.
That's math.
Yeah. It closed for good on July 7th of last year.
Really?
They said it was a temporary closure because it was owned by Landmark and they wanted to concentrate on Grant Park.
Mm-hmm.
And post-COVID... business had slowed. Also, the last time I went there for a movie, it was not a good experience.
Oh, really?
It was a little rundown.
Oh.
A little janky.
That's too bad. Well, if they weren't concentrating on it.
It was a little janky, and with the small theaters, like it was just like you were in a janky place really close to strangers. the building is now for sale, as we noted the other day.
Yes. Which I was thinking we should buy it.
Cue the music.